at the subscriber's request, this phone does not accept incoming calls. Message AZ0158. At the subscriber's request, this phone does not accept incoming calls. Message AZ0158.
Dual Parallel. This is going to be a special episode. Fuck yeah. Inspired by a letter from M from S. I'm joined this evening. This is actually groundbreaking for Radio Freak America. I'm joined by three special guests, Condor, Wintermute, and Stank Dog. Say hi respectively, gentlemen.
Yo, yo.
Oh, Stank Dog, this is Dogtown episode. We're going to talk tonight about a topic dear to our hearts, and that is learning. Yes, we're going to talk about where to go to learn to do the things that you want to do with technology. Now, we're not going to give you paint by numbers, you know. We're going to stress the importance of using this information wisely, and we're going to give you special sources of information. We're not just going to regurgitate websites. If you can't find out what you want to know on the web, then we can't help you. So what we're going to do is give our unique twist to learning how to use technology in unique ways. Now, I want to stress one thing right off the bat, and I'll admit it, I've been guilty of this, and that is thinking that hacking is about gaining access. And you know what? That's not what it's about, because getting access to systems is phenomenally easy. It's painfully easy. It's absurd how easy it is sometimes. You can literally stumble into systems. So that's not what it's about. It's about learning about the technology. It's about exploring that technology. And it's about sharing what you learn with others. Agree?
Once you get that information, like learning how to, you know, program in C, you can find buffer overflows and say, wow, look at that. And point out to, I don't know, BugTrack, and you can be published on BugTrack.
That's right. You're sharing. You know, you're not going to use it to get at, you know, to get access. You found out how you can, and you shared that information.
Thinking that most passwords are null, you shouldn't really have a problem getting into most systems. So it really is
right. Or default passwords are never changed.
Or admin root password.
Yeah.
Things of that nature that are actually published in massive lists. You're not gonna. You're gonna get access 90% of the time unless someone's smart.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2. Popular. 3, 2. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, why does that make me laugh so much? Oh, I just find that so humorous. Hey, Stank, you've never found anything like that, have you?
Once you figure it out, and that's what makes it fun, is finding how simple people use these passwords and realizing how easy it is to get into their systems. It's just the excitement, kind of, I guess, of the hunt, so to speak, of actually doing it and getting in. It's not what you do after you get in there. That's pretty much irrelevant. It's the fact that you got in that makes it fun.
Right. That is the exciting part. But again, I want to stress, that's not the end-all, be-all of hacking. It's getting access is no problem, but you want to learn how you did it, you know, why, you want to know everything about the technology, the code, the hardware, the networking. That's what this is all about. I want to start out. Now, I basically broke it down. We've got three guests, myself, and I broke it down into these topics. We're going to have Condor talk about Linux and C programming, you know, maybe even programming in general. We're going to have Mute talk about RF and what else?
Ham, baby.
Ham. Oh, God, I can't believe I forgot it. Ham and RF. And then I'm going to touch on freaking and wireless, and Stank is going to hit everything. He's here to make sure we give you the best, you, the listeners, the best information. So, Condor, you've been messing with Linux a lot. You do a lot of coding in C.
Correct.
I guarantee you can give the listeners a bunch of websites, and that's okay if you give them a few, you know, that's no problem. But what are some unique ways that they can learn about Linux or C programming? And I got to tell you, listeners, learning Linux is very basic, and it's going to be very essential to all of your technology needs. So go for it, Condor.
Okay, well, let's start off with C. You know, Linux was written in C, so C is pretty much the language. If you're going to learn Linux, you want to learn C. And it's a lot, it's really cool to learn C. And a lot of languages are based off of C, you know, C++.
Perl.
There's not many books on C, so you're pretty much going to have to be on your own, go to news groups, even hop down to your local university. I bet you they will have people there, they will teach you, they'll have courses, there will be someone there that will know, unless it's like a farming kind of thing, there'll be somebody who will know C.
Now, I want to clarify something. When he says there's not many books on C, he means free sources like libraries, maybe schools. You probably won't find many up-to-date quality books on C there. If you go to a bookstore and want to drop 50 bones, you can find a book on C, I guarantee it.
I have one right here. It's C Unleashed. And I bought this book, and I thought, well, hey, I'm going to start off with C. No, C Unleashed is a book that will teach you the advanced subjects of C. Lee. What was I thinking?
Who's the author?
It is Richard Heathfield and Lawrence Kirby. And it's written by Sams.
Published by Sams?
Yes. And, you know, it'll teach you the intermediate there. I'll put it that way. Intermediate concepts of C. Programming in general. Just take, there's lots of little programming logic courses online. You can find them. But, you know, working on chess, you know, it'll develop some of your logic, not necessarily programming logic, but just keep on working on programming, and you'll develop programming logic. Kind of comes with one of the trades, whatever.
Right.
And for Linux, you know, there's something that everybody should be going to if they want to get into Linux, and that's Linux users groups. And they're all over. I know that in my state we have, I think, 5. So they're really easy to find. Just go to linux.org, then users groups, and there's all sorts of them.
Can you recommend, I hate to say this, but a newbie-friendly distro?
I would probably go Red Hat, because Red Hat is just so simple that I would not recommend going to Slackware or Root Linux. I've seen that, or even Debian. To tell you the truth, don't start off with Debian because you can't handle it. I don't think. I may not have should have said that, but I mean it's
no, that's fine.
it's not exactly easy. I had problems with it, and I was determined, and I fixed them. But if you do want to go to Linux without a hitch, then try to go with Red Hat or Mandrake or one of the very common ones.
Right, something that'll find your hardware, set it up properly, and everything will work out of the box. That's what a newbie needs to start learning.
Exactly.
And I hate, and maybe we could all discuss this just for a moment. And I feel bad I even use that term, because I always like to think that I'm always a beginner, right?
Hey, you know, newbie isn't one of the nicest of terms, I think.
Well, I'm not saying it in a mean way, but I like to think I'm always a beginner, because there's always somebody who knows something more, and learning is infinite. So always, always have the mind of a beginner. How do you guys feel about using that word, noob, newbie? I mean, it's not, I don't think it's bad.
Hey, I'm very proudly come right out and say that when it comes to Linux, I'm a newbie. It's not a negative word to me, it's a description, it's an adjective, that's all.
That's what I find the same way. I mean, I don't know much. I know a lot about some things. I don't know nothing about stuff, other things, and I always think I'm a noob. I always call myself a noob because a lot of stuff is just crazy to me. I don't understand it, but if you give it some time, you'll figure it out. You'll have friends that figure it out, and you'll be cruising like the real guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Very refreshing, gentlemen. Good viewpoints.
His recommendation of Red Hat, because, like I said, I'm a Linux noob, and I started with Red Hat, the last version, and I just installed Red Hat. I think it's 8.0 just came out. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Just installed that on my system, and you know, if it wasn't for some of the tools in there that they've got in there to make it easier for people like me, you know, I'd be lost. If that thing didn't auto-detect my hardware, I'd be SOL. I'd be back on a Windows box somewhere. I know you hate to hear that, Duel.
Yeah, but, you know, you do what you have to do, and people will find ways to learn. People will find ways to learn. Now, Condor, I have a book. I did a little coding into myself. Didn't get very far, honestly. I fell in love with Perl, called See by Example. And one of the best things about it, and I bought this book new at one of the large chain bookstores, one of the best things about it is that it was only $25 instead of the usual $50. You know, computer books are not cheap. I don't know if anybody noticed that. They're not cheap. So it appealed to me. And again, it was $25. So look around, people. Look around. I'm going to discuss. I'll discuss more about books when I get to freaking.
Yeah, I've got a book on Linux. It's called Linux Complete. It is only $20, and at my local Fry's Electronics, I could have gotten it for even cheaper, which would be around $16. And it is basically the Linux documentation project all on paper.
Is it that fat little phone book looking book?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But big. It's real fat, and
yeah,
it's kind of small. And in the back it has a command reference. Let's go to command, it'll tell me about crontab, and it'll tell me how, what it does, and what bugs it might have, and stuff like that. It's a very neat little book, although some of these things it's kind of out of date, because you know everything in computers goes out of date real fast. It's hard to get something in print that's up to date, because it still covers it does not cover CD burning or anything like that, or does not cover more of the up to date issues. It covers printers and PPP, all sorts of stuff like that, and it mentions that things are real brand new and stuff like that, so it's a real good thing. I've used it many, many times, because a few times my computer has been unable to access the Linux Documentation Project website, and I just pulled this out, and wow, look at that. I fix my computer and hop on. That's another place you should always go, to iblio.org, iBibilo, and that's a huge place, and it just wonderful, and it has a whole bunch of Linux distros on it, and it has lots of Linux stuff in general. Like, it has a Linux cookbook, a Linux documentation project, all the how-tos, many how-tos, and has the system administrator's guide, the security guide, and all sorts of stuff.
So iBiblio is a special website, then. It's one that definitely stands out.
What I like is actually this book. It's called Red Hat Linux 7.3 Secrets. Now, the reason I like this book, it really outlines a whole Linux installation, from what I can see. But what really sold the book was, there's a guy in the back of the cover, his little picture. It gives a whole description of what he does. He's got, like, he's written a bunch of books, but the picture really sells it. He looks like he's been up for 3 days straight. Quoting, he is, his eyes are halfway down, his eyelids are like 50% there. He's just staring at his camera, he's like, do not take my fucking picture. That really sold the book, because this guy has been working, and this right now, whatever answer, whatever question I have about kernels, whatever I got, whatever I'm working on, it's right in here.
That's cool.
Let's see how many pages. With the index, about a grand of a page. 1,000 pages.
Written by a hacker.
Looks like a hacker from here.
He's all strung out on Jolt.
Yeah, he's written more than two. He's an electrical engineer, written more than 24 computer books, including Red Hat Linux 7.2 Weekend Crash Course, as well as guides to X, Windows, Perl, C++, and Java.
Nice.
Senior level technologist of the Center for Technology and Engineering at the U.S. General Accounting Office. So, this guy knows his shit. Let's just say that.
And it's a good book.
Yeah.
There we go. Another resource for Linux and or C.
This book was a tad expensive. That was another 50 bones, but I wanted to get it because I got Red Hat 7.3, and I'm going to use a lot of computers with that, so I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to discuss, you know, spending money and how you can learn without spending money, you know. But there's nothing wrong with it. If you find something you love, something that works with you, something you're reading, you're understanding, you like it when you're chilling at the bookstore, go ahead and drop the bones. You know, buy the book.
I like getting the hardcover stuff because then you have an open reference that you don't have to fire up a computer and look up. But I still get a bunch of stuff off the computer. It's a wealth of information right there.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. You know, RTFM.
But, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, Condor. Anything else on Linux and C?
Huh?
Anything else?
Email people. Like, I'm available. I know quite a bit, I think. But not. I wouldn't call myself an expert, and by no means am I ready to handle high-level questions or anything. But I can answer questions, and I'm sure Duo can answer more questions, you know?
Yeah, you know what? If you're just starting, you're just starting to, you know, become enthralled with technology, you will be surprised how receptive others will be to your questions. They're not going to say, oh, you're an idiot, you know, you're some noob, get the hell out of here. No, they're going to want to share their information with you. You know, they put in all this hard work to learn all of this. They want to share it, you know. They want to propagate it. Is that not correct, Stank?
Absolutely. Like I said, you're more than welcome to come and post something, post questions, and I guarantee you that you're going to get an answer from one of us or one of the other members of DDP, and not just from our site. You can go to HackerMind, you can go to just any number of forums out there.
What the?
You have to wade through flames, excuse me, sometimes. But, I mean, that's just kind of goes with the territory. You will find just as many friendly places out there that are willing to accommodate you as you do, you know, places that are going to flame and belittle you. So you just got to look around a little bit.
Yeah, and we're all definitely receptive. Stankdog.com, HackerMind.net, OldSchoolFreak.com. Send your email to anybody there, and we'll help you out as much as we can. If we don't know, we'll say we don't know, and we'll help you find the answer.
There's one other thing I'd like to bring up before you leave the topic of C.
Yeah, please.
I went out to the site today, and I posted all of my links that I have to see. For those who don't know, I am a senior programmer for profession, so I have quite a few links. I posted some of my favorites out there on the board. But I want to reel back a little bit, because you got to remember, I want to clarify two things, first of all. There's a difference between books to teach you and reference manuals. And you guys know a lot of this stuff real well. Those Linux Unleashed and Linux and those things are going to blow me away. So for anybody else that's in my boat, don't be afraid to buy Linux for Dummies. I bought it, I'm proud to say it, and it teaches me simple things that I need to know.
Yeah, nothing wrong with buying those books at all.
They're usually cheap. You usually get those $10 to $20. You'll get a basic foundation of how to use it, some of the basic things. Later on, when you need reference manuals, then some of the stuff the other guys mentioned, some of the stuff you can find online, some of the reference manuals you'll need to look up sometimes, but I'm still trying to get an overview. So some of the simpler books, there's nothing wrong with buying these things, and they're generally cheaper. So
yeah, that's a big time plus. And you'll naturally, what you said, you'll naturally progress. You'll say, hey, you know what? I've moved past this book, and you'll start looking at other books, and you'll move on to the meatier books.
Another free source is, which I found is actually really useful, is the Man Pages.
Yeah, RTFM, man.
Pan pages there, because I think a lot of them are been rewritten. I don't know, I haven't been doing it for a while, but I think a lot of them have been tweaked for people that don't know as much.
They're
and some of them are
exactly
simpler.
Easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But they are incredible. The information is there. You know, you need to speak a different language of man.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. But sometimes they're really good. You know, I was just reading IW Config last night, and it was, you know, it's fairly simple to understand. You know, you're really going to, it's going to depend on the man page, but definitely use a man page. You have a question about any command in Linux, or even C, go ahead and type man in that thing. Just try it out. And there's different levels, and we're not going to get into that, but read the man pages. Spend some time. You know what? Once you get Linux installed, go ahead and just start naming off commands that you know, and just man those commands and check it out. Learn the switches, learn the syntax.
You'll be able to use something that you never knew you could do.
Yeah, exactly. You will learn so much just by taking 20 minutes out of your day and reading some man pages. It's good stuff.
Two closing things about Linux.
Please.
Go on to news groups. I have posted things on news groups, and I haven't gotten much luck with any of them. So, you know, I'm not much of a fan for news groups, but because I haven't really gotten any response, so.
Yeah, I have to second that myself, because back in the day, I used to go on the news groups all the time. That's where I found tons of information, and it's back when it was, well, frankly, a more friendly environment. That's where I see the majority of the flames going on, flame wars, people putting people down. You know, if you... God help you if you ever post a question out there that says, teach me to hack, or help me hack, or how can I be a hacker, you'll never get a straight answer out there anymore. It's just become spam headquarters and arrogant asshole headquarters. So I think forums have kind of taken over that place. Forums on the web, forums online, you find the friendly ones. They pretty much push the news groups aside.
Yeah, pretty much. News groups are sometimes useful when Google indexes something that is useful on a news group. That's about it.
Right.
That's definitely about it.
And IRC, you know, I really haven't used IRC all that much, and I don't know, I'm not really a big fan of it because I really haven't used it all that much, but I had a question about Debian. I really had a question because I wanted to switch to the 3.0 and everything like that, 2.4 kernel, and so I said, all right, I'm going to erase my system. I did, and I screwed up, so I popped in Nopix, and I went on IRC, and I quickly got my question answered, and I was back up and running real fast.
Oh, very cool, very cool. So maybe IRC, some channels are useful. You brought up a very good point.
Yeah, sometimes you'll have pretty good luck out there, and other times you won't. And anybody who's listening to the show who uses IRC, read my article on Elite Speak, and don't use it. You annoy the hell out of me.
How do you really feel?
Yep, I agree.
You brought up something else, Connor, and that is Nopix. Nopix is an invaluable tool. In fact, boy, what more? I mean, you can't get a friendlier distro than Nopix. Yeah, dude.
Because, you know...
Raise Nopix's name up high. Dude, it fucking rocks, man. Nopix is cool. Not going to touch your hard drive. It'll auto-detect your sound, your Ethernet, everything. It'll work great.
Only when you have a hardware problem that Nopix cannot fix, it will not run, which I've run into. But if your system is fucked over completely, you don't even know what happened to it, then Nopix, you can get in.
Right. You can still get your shit done.
Unless there's some short inside, which happened to me, totally fucked, but I finally figured it out. It was a hardware issue. It will boot.
Was this your laptop?
A laptop. Let's talk about the laptop.
The zombie laptop?
One second, real quick. You know, take, like, daily doses of Nopix. You know, do 15 minutes a day, or something like that progress, and then until you can finally feel comfortable when switching.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, kind of like a little workout, you know.
Yeah.
Get a little openoffice.org in one day, a little Conqueror in the other day. You'll love Nopix.
Go ahead, mute.
All right. We're gonna transition to my. Can we transition to my segment a little?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So, I started doing all this quote unquote hacking stuff, but I really just see it as my life back about a year ago, and I was like, I don't know shit. What am I gonna do? Started listening to HackerMind, started listening to all these cool shows, started talking to people, and look where I am today, on a fucking radio show that I was listening to before last year. It's easy. So let me just think, let's talk about my laptop first. Okay. So you know I went to Italy. Now, seen some. I have my pictures up, I'll post a link to that, good stuff. Came back, picked the laptop up, screws are jiggling around. On lap, please. It's a heartbreaking moment. Laptop is fucked. Please boot.
Like it rattles when you like shake it?
Yeah, it rattled.
Oh, that sucks.
It was bad. So I'm like, okay, let's see if we can get some out. So I cracked it open. Got one of them out. Okay, maybe I saved it. Maybe. Reboot. You know, I know normal Windows 2000, you know, you have the white bar that goes across and then goes to the splash screen.
Yeah.
After the white bar loaded, it would reboot itself. I'm like,
oh, that's very cool.
That's fucked up. Fucked up.
Is it supposed to do that?
No, it's not. It's supposed to. It better go right into Windows. And I'm like, fuck. So I try booting Linux. Linux has, like, some fucked up kernel panic or something. I don't know. I don't remember. It was a blur. So I'm like, okay, like, try moving more screws. Okay, I get another one. Fine. This is going to work. Finally, Windows works. Linux works. Okay. Reboot again. I stupidly enough do not get off my text file and my NetStumbler file from Italy.
Ooh, not good.
I was like, And then when I rebooted again, it was really dead. It was like, you couldn't even see the Windows line, the white line. And you couldn't even get into Linux because it said, like, null pointer dereference. And then I started having a headache and I just walked away. And then
so
I drive to school the next day. I'm like, I don't have my text file or my NetStumbler file. Not good. So I go on this quest to fix the computer. So I think about it a little while, and it says, after reading this error message a couple times, it says virtual memory. I'm like, RAM? So I crack open the RAM, I take a stick out, close it back up. Works.
Really?
Linux, well, first of all, after doing a bunch of different rescue disks and stuff, and then trying to reinstall Windows, but I think Windows got messed up somewhere along the line. Because also, somewhere in between trying to fix the computer, I also tried putting on Red Hat 7.3, so, and then it kind of fucked up the master boot record. Lilo was pissed. A lot of stuff happened. So, I'm like, okay, maybe I can fix it now. So
what happened?
Okay, so I got 7.3 on there. That finally worked.
So it does work.
It works. So 7.3 is gold. It's golden. But I couldn't boot. I couldn't get into my NTFS partition. Red Hat didn't put NTFS into the kernel. So I couldn't see the NTFS, so I broke out a rescue disk. I actually have, it's another rescue program, Linux Rescue, it's called RIP. You pop the CD in there, and then you can see everything, and I got the files over, but then I recompiled the kernel and got my NTFS back, copied everything over, and now I have my freaking and my NetStumbler stuff back.
Very nice. Now this, listener, should teach you a very, very valuable lesson. And then one of the most... Hold on. Water is my friend. You know, this is more talking than I do, like, in a week. I'm serious, you know what? Alright, anyways. This teaches a very, very valuable lesson. And that is persistence. You must be persistent. You must have perseverance. If you can't figure something out right away, don't give up right away. Get help.
I almost gave up after I thought it was hardware. And I'm like, I'm going to buy another laptop. But after getting a car, I considered fixing it. So,
you're a student?
But I fixed it, so it's all good.
Yeah, he's a student, and a laptop is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Just guess persistence is key.
Oh, man.
Whatever you do, not just fucking with computers.
That's right.
Whatever you do.
So, but don't let that experience scare you off, listener.
Exactly.
Yeah, now, and that brings up another point, and that is, you can learn a lot from your failures. Even though, I mean, there may be a point, all right, you know, that's a fine line, you know. There may be a point where, I've got a great way to say this, and that sometimes it's better to go around the wall than to bang your head on it. Sometimes there's a way to fix something. You may have a path, and you're so focused on getting that fixed, you're very, you know, you're very persistent, you're persevering, but you know what? There may be a better way around it. So that's my way of saying it. Sometimes it's a better way to go around the wall than to, you know, keep banging your head against it.
Got to step back.
That's right.
What's actually happening, then go in again.
Yeah. You know, that's, and this is, you know, and I'm stumbling on my words because it's really hard. It's almost as if we're trying to teach people how to think, because it is. It's a different way of thinking. We're trying to give you unique sources of information, you know, that you can absorb and start to think differently. And it's very difficult to put that in words. It's very difficult to instill that in somebody, how to think differently, you know, how to look at a piece of technology and see something totally different, you know. There is one easy way
I try to tell people to think.
Please.
Where it's question everything. Ask questions. Just, you know, if you see something, don't take it at face value. You get an error message, don't just bang your head against the error message. Think what caused the error message. How can I fix the error message? Maybe it's caused by something irrelevant, you know. You gotta think through things instead of just looking right at the direct whatever's directly in front of you.
Perfect. Worded perfectly. Thank you, Stank.
Alright, I'm gonna go into my RF section now.
Yeah, bust it.
Alright, so we're gonna put the cap at 135 degrees. If anyone doesn't know what the cap is, that's the 2600 cap I just got today. So, have it 135.
It's at 135?
It's 135 right there.
Okay.
D plus 45, so.
All right, man. Because I think like 30 degrees is in, dude.
I think 30.
I thought 30 was in, but I guess I'm wrong, man. I'm just not hip.
Well, I think it freezes at 32, so be careful.
that was a Rax-like joke, by the way.
Yeah, right? See? Rax is feeling me.
That was a very Rax-like joke. All right, bust the RF, dude.
Okay. So, all right, let me just... I set up my little... All right, I have a scan. All right, for RF... awesome stuff. No matter what you're going to do with it, whether it be ham radio, whether it be just talking on people with a little handy talk, with a little walkie-talkie, you can do cool stuff with it. Let me give you an example. A while ago in a frequency, long ago, I think it's 23, I posted POTSAG and flex decoding. I have a scanner here, a normal radio scanner. The scanner is hooked up to an antenna, of course, and in the back of the scanner, I have a thing. It's basic, to keep it simple, it takes stuff, the data, and the stuff that's coming off the scanner and putting it into my computer. Oh, and then that can translate whatever's coming off the scanner, the ones and zeros, into my computer. Right here I have POTSAG and flex decoding. POTSAG and flex is just like pagers, like alphanumeric pagers and text stuff. Let me give you an example of what I just found for computers and radio. Was unable to reach site and gain access to router, but unable to do any work for router is, and then that's where the message cut off, because that was the whole message. Now, that messages like that, and messages that you can find all through decoding this stuff, relates extremely much to computers. Whatever you're doing, whatever kind of hack you do, whatever thing you're going to do, you can always find a way back to computers if that's what you like. Like right here, I just found something that actually related to computers, and that might be cool later. So even something like radio, which from the outside doesn't look like it's worth computers, if you delve into it and you go deep enough into some stuff, you'll find that you can relate to something you like.
Very true, very true. Now give us some good, now you explained some great technology that you have and you use. Now explain some sources, explain how you got there. How'd you get to that point?
Learn more about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of stuff I found. First of all, I started off with ham radio. Ham radio is a godsend to anyone that wants to learn more stuff, because ham radio is dual testified of this, has so many people in it that will teach you whatever you want to know.
Oh yeah,
pose a question, they will answer it in the best way that they can.
Oh man, and they love to answer questions.
Exactly, because they're getting old, they want to pass. Kids might not have liked it, but if they find a kid that does, they'll answer it, because that's what they want to do.
So there is a big-time unique source of information. That is old hams, man.
Old hams, exactly. You go to a meeting and start talking to them. Guess what? You become a ham yourself. So that's the best way to go. So that's what I did. I started off there.
Give us some more.
From there, I went to a 2600 meeting. Actually, the day after 2600 meeting, I got in ham radio, so it was backwards. But the 2600 meetings, now I might be plugging 2600, but they're still awesome. If you live in a metropolitan area, you're going to find at least 20 people going to those. If you live in a rural, and most of the meetings are in metropolitan areas anyways. So you're going to get a lot of people with a lot of information.
Now, we don't want to dissuade people from 2600 meetings if there's not 20 people there. There may be
two people that know a shitload more about than 20 people.
Yeah, Condor, correct me if I'm wrong. One meeting was just you, me, and Meme. Is that correct?
Correct.
You, Meme, and myself. And that was a great, great meeting. And now, at Wintermute, you can learn about RF at 2600 meetings. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes. A lot of what I have in my meeting, I live, so I go to a Chicago meeting, so a suburb of that. A friend of mine named Etox. This guy grew up with every single piece of electronic he could find. He didn't even have, like, he could look up books and stuff, but he did it with the hardware aspect, soldering stuff, like getting down there and checking all this stuff out, testing stuff, reading, all that kind of stuff. And sometimes, you know, 2600, you know, you get computers, but you might find some really cool guys that just, they might know a lot about computers, but they might know a lot about other things, like ham radio or electronics and stuff, which is still a very viable thing to do, like hacking and stuff like that.
Right. So 2600 meetings are not just for computer security. It's not just about cracking in computers. It's about exploring technology, and that includes RF, phones, computers. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Lasers. I was at a meeting once. People were talking lasers. It was awesome.
Yeah,
that's where we actually came up with the idea, right, Duel?
What's that?
Me, you, and Rex.
Oh, of this show? Yeah, that's very true. It was at a 2600 meeting. And yeah, you're right. It was just me, you, and Rax.
Hey, three people.
Yeah, some of the best meetings. Now, we've had meetings where there's been lots of people. I mean, you know, over 10 people. I think that's lots. And they were great. But we've come up with such good stuff, you know, when there's just a few people. So don't discount them. If it's just you and a buddy and you have your own meeting, you know, do it. Do it in a public place. And who knows? Somebody might show up. Okay, now bust some more references.
Okay, so we're going to go to radio. There's a lot of, let me think.
How about, I know there's good magazines, and sometimes people just don't know what magazines exist.
Right. If you go to any major chain bookstore, there's tons of magazines. They'll go on for racks, but you're looking for, well, for general hacking, you're looking at computers, but around the computer section, they're going to start mingling in other electronics. Some good ones, nuts and bolts. You recommended that one before.
Yeah.
A lot of electronic stuff, some beginner stuff, some advanced stuff, but you can still pick up most of it. There's Poptronics that's been relabeled as like electronic. There's another couple names, but Poptronics is the current name, I believe.
Right.
Monitoring Times is another scanning one.
There's one amateur radio, I think it's called, but the big letters are CQ. You'll find it. You'll say, "Oh, it's that magazine is CQ, but it's really called something else." So that's another good one.
Amateur radio one, but there's QR.
QSX? No.
No. Wait. What's the for calling all hams or?
Oh yeah. God, I can't think of it.
US. It's like QS, I think.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about.
USO. No. That's a conversation. QSL is a card.
You'll see them, and he's right. They're near the computers, but it's like electronic section. You know, it might be like around the video camera magazine, stuff like that. And a lot of times they're on the bottom shelf.
Yeah, or behind. But you know how they slope? They may be under the hanging slope. You hide them away.
Yeah, sometimes they're not easy to find, and you know sometimes you would never know they were there. So that's why we're telling you.
You gotta dig through. You gotta pull some back. And look,
yeah,
because you're gonna miss something, a shorter one. So you're looking at the magazines, getting online. If you just search the radio stuff, you're gonna find some stuff. A good scanner site is www.mods.dk. Let me make sure that
it's mods.denmark. Yeah, that's right.
DK. That has like virtually every single scanner or radio product, and at least two or three modifications for it, and you can also learn, there's a lot of ham radios, there's a lot of scanners, that's a good site because you can find, you might not be comfortable with electronics, but a lot of this stuff doesn't even require you to open up the radio, but you can open up a whole new order of stuff. And just playing, if you pick up a radio, I know Radio Shack is having a lot of deals on radios right now. I think someone said there was a shortwave radio deal.
Yeah, I was talking about that. I've got it here. Shortwave radio, $40.
There you go. You can pick up a lot of cool stuff with a shortwave.
Yeah. Even getting a one or two channel FM transmitter, you know, a little walkie-talkie for, you know, $5-$10, you know, is going to get you an RF.
You get a CB. Go to eBay. Go to, oh, here we go. Here we go. Swap meets. Another name for a ham radio swap meet is called the Ham Fest. Now, you might see Ham Fest. Well, some people might think, ham, what the fuck? And some of them might realize, oh, ham radio. But then you got to go to one. And you got to realize that it's just not ham radio. It's every single piece of electronics you can find.
Yeah.
You go to there, you might see, oh, radios. You see big names, big name Japanese names like Yaesu and...
Alinco.
Alinco, Icom. But you go to the back, you're going to find all this stuff. You're going to find, like, old computers. You're going to be like... Where does all this stuff come from? This is supposed to be radio. No, it isn't. It's going to be computers, because a lot of stuff that's coming up today on radio is going to use computers, like IRLP. That's going to use a lot of computers. So, they use that stuff.
What's that, Condor?
Oh, sorry, I kind of have a bad sound on this end. With Debian, there's many packages that actually incorporate ham radio and Linux.
Yeah.
There's even built into the kernel, there is amateur radio modifications for it.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
But yeah, you go into new kernels, they have like a whole, they have like a, I forgot what it's, there might be amateur radio support at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's a bunch of stuff. I haven't played with it yet because my sound card sucks on my laptop, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Very cool, very cool. You got anything else?
Let's think here. All right, if you get a scanner, all right, you're starting off on the radio stuff, you might have a cheap little scanner. This is what you do. You figure out the mins and maxes of the scanner, so it's like the bottom of where it can go and the top of where it can go. Just start listening to stuff. Because if you start listening to stuff, you're going to pick up people, you're going to listen to, start recording it, start programming if it's got memory, and then go back to it, and you might hear cool things. If you start hearing, like, you might hear just random buzzes and stuff, listen to that because it might change.
Right.
You might find something really cool. You
may find a pattern.
Find a pattern, exactly. You find a pattern, maybe you can figure out that pattern, and then stuff goes on and on and on. Let me just give you a little hint about something I'm working on right now, is RF leakage in certain electronics. And let me tell you...
is going to be an entertaining read. We've already been talking about it.
Yeah, let me just tell you...
I have to wait till he writes this up.
Yeah, let me just tell you. Let me give you a brief snippet. If you know what you're doing, I almost got my ass kicked out of an arcade today knowing what I'm doing. So... just wait, and you'll hear some really wacky ass cool shit. Let me just say that, wacky ass cool shit.
Right on.
When
I'm down with wacky ass cool shit.
If you delve into stuff enough, you will figure out some of the coolest things. You'll figure out better hacks than what's out there right now. You say, oh man, I just own a Linux box. Well, I just did fill in the blank when I released this article, and you'll blow people away with it. You can do another thing. And let me just give a general thing, not just RF, just delve into a lot of different stuff. Kind of like life. Go to a bunch of different things and see what you like. Because I might know a lot, you might not see it now that I have and know all this radio, but guess what? I'm a fairly proficient lock picker, too. I don't know if any guys know this, but I walked into school today with my lock picking tools, and I showed kids just this year they rotated locks. They have brand new master locks. I just showed kids that I can pick this master lock that everyone thought was impervious in 3 seconds.
Yeah, very nice.
Because all the locks have a master key at the back that so the teachers can open them.
Right.
And I brought it to school, and I cracked it open during class, and I'm like, holy shit. Holy shit. What the hell did you do?
So everybody got a little bonus lock picking segment there.
Yeah, just a little more. You can go, all right, this is one way. If you're at H2K2, they talked about lock picking. And the problem with lockpicking is a lot of sites will say, we require, like, locksmith license or government federal name.
Bullshit.
Yeah, bullshit. Don't go to, if they're big sites that have a lot of cool stuff, you're probably not going to get to it. go to novelty sites. Novelty sites will carry it as a novelty, which means it's not supposed to be meant for real use.
Right.
Go to novelty, search Google for lockpicking. Within the first page, you'll find a site that says novelty and won't ask for anything. That's where I got mine for like $14.
Yeah. It's called IMPlus.com. Like an army surplus thing.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
I got something even better, and that is, I hate to say it, gun shows. You go to gun shows, you get all that freaky literature and your lockpicks. Get real cheap lockpick sets.
There you go.
You get some freaky stuff at gun shows. That's where I got my picks at.
Yeah, another thing is that persistence. If you bust out on locks, they will return to you. Now, you might say lockpicking, well, what the fuck are you going to do with lockpicking? You're going to start breaking into houses?
No.
People started thinking, they call it a hobby. In Germany, I think, or Netherlands, it's a hobby.
It's Germany. They have the championships.
Yeah, the sport. It's a sport. It's not, I mean, the people say, you're going to get arrested. No, you're not, because if you just practice enough, I mean, you can impress people. That's another trait. You can impress people with it.
Right. Burglars are going to use big rocks to bust in your window. They're not going to use a lockpick set, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Genius.
They're not going to start, like, sit there for a minute and pick something. They're just going to throw a rock through the window. They're going to torch the house.
That's right.
Or shoot the lock off.
Yeah, they're going to bust the door down with a sledgehammer. They're going to ram. You know what? They would ram the wall with a truck, load it up, and pull away, all right? They're not going to pick the lock. All right, enough. Enough about that. That's a very, very good point.
There's kind of a moral to that, and I think everybody's touched on it. There's an underlying moral that if you haven't picked up on through the show so far, is that hacking is not only about computers. We've hit so many topics since we started this a little while ago. It's not just about hacking computers. It's not just about breaking into systems. It's not just about passwords. It's about learning. It's about finding the boundaries of things. It's about expanding your mind. It's not necessarily just sitting in front of a computer and trying to do stuff in the computer.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think the listeners are going to get the gist of that. I mean, I think we've impressed that upon them. I mean, how could we have not? How could they not get that? I mean, that's definitely what it's about.
Subject. What are you going to be covering?
Me? I'm going to cover a little Wi-Fi, a little 802.11, and freaking. Something very dear to my heart. You got anything else, Wintermute?
I think I'm pretty good, but you just got to think about the radio is, you might not find a lot of, I might just not be saying a lot, but you have to go out and you got to look. I mean, I don't have exact stuff because I don't even know how I picked up half my stuff.
Yeah.
I think I was just looking around at random sites.
You know what? I think people are going to find out.
Yeah. If you look, that's another thing. I'm not going to spoon feed you this. You got to actually look around. I gave you some okay sites. I mean, there's better sites for ham radio, like QRZ.com has a lot of links, and just typing in radio has a lot of links. But looking around, and if you want to invest some money in this radio, that will pay you back more than giving you stuff to do.
Yeah, and it's going to pay you back by being fun, and that is going to drive your learning. You won't even know it. You're just going to be having fun, and you're going to naturally start learning things. You know, this is not work. You know, we're giving you a lot of resources, you know, where you could do research, but guess what? These are just, you know, hopping off points, starting points, jumping off points, I should say, to having fun and to learning more. So you'll find something that you like, that you have fun at, and that's going to lead to something else, and you have fun at that, and you'll learn more, and it'll go on forever. It is really, really infinite. I'm going to talk about a little Wi-Fi. I'm going to start out with Wi-Fi. I'm enjoying that immensely. You know, playing with Linux and Wi-Fi, driving around, doing a little war driving. It's a lot of fun. It's a little new. It's becoming widely adopted. It's not secure in the least. So, again, getting access is simplicity itself, but that's not what it's about. It's about learning, and you'll find that out if you do play with it. I've got to pimp one site that I think is special. We're trying to keep the websites down. We're trying to give you new, unique ways to learn. This one website is wardriving.com. They've got everything you need there, and it'll take you to every other place that you need to go. So wardriving.com is the one website that you really need to go to. There's many others, but you'll figure that out on your own. To learn about Wi-Fi, what would I do? Well, oddly enough, I would say go to stores, you know, not to be a consumer, but to learn. Go check out all the different Wi-Fi cards, 802.11a, 802.11b. Read the boxes. talk to people. You probably won't find many people that know what they're talking about. Maybe if you go to a really good specialty store, you know, a mom and pop place that actually knows what they're doing, you might be able to learn something. But go to a store and just check out the stuff. Learn what's available. Find out what there is. You know, read the what's the difference between the access point and the bridge. You know, and you can do that at a store just checking out boxes. Another way to learn about Wi-Fi is, well, to drop the jack, buy a cheap card, and just play with it. Doesn't matter what OS you have, doesn't matter what card you get, just get something to work and build on that. Actual experience, that's a great way to learn about Wi-Fi. And again, like Condor said, talking to people. Email your friends, I am your buddies who've messed with Wi-Fi, go to a good board that might have a Wi-Fi topic. That's going to be one of your best ways to learn about Wi-Fi, and that is other people who have experienced it. And you know, I can't stress enough how much just playing with stuff is, you know, just having fun is going to help you learn. Again, Wi-Fi is new. There's a lot of sites. I could give you a lot of websites, but I don't want to do that. If you can find your own stuff on the web, right? You got Google. What else do you need? What else?
Well, I think you've posted some pretty good starting points out there already, and
yeah,
branch off from there.
Yeah, for Wi-Fi, I think that's about it. I mean, you really just got to play with it. You really have to experience it to learn. You know, look for those different programs. Go to wardriving.com. Go and familiarize yourself with the technology. And the best way to do that, you know, without spending some jack, is just go to a store and browse.
One really cool site to go to that I've kind of fallen out of use because I just got involved in more things is netstumbler.com, and they have forums. Those forums taught me so much.
Right. Yeah, and you can get to that, of course, through wardriving.com.
Yeah.
It's you'll find explore there and you'll find lots and lots of stuff.
Kids are so obsessed with Wi-Fi. It's insane.
Yeah, well, Wi-Fi's a lot of fun. Once you get into it just a little bit, you are going to go nuts. It's so much fun.
If you know something about computers, all right. Well, let's see what I did when with that forums. Firmware hack so I can change the MAC address, passive promiscuous mode sniffing, all that stuff just from that forum, and then you learn all this news that you'll never find anywhere else.
Right.
Another thing.
Yeah, you'll think up new things, you'll learn new things. I'm gonna close with that thought.
Yeah.
I want to move on to freaking, and that's something I love. I'm not an expert. I just enjoy it, you know? It's fun to me. I don't know why, but it's just so intriguing. This huge, you know, intergalactic network of wires going around the world. I mean, it's the largest, most complex network there is. I mean, you know, I don't know if you've ever read about a 5E switch and what it does and the technology in that switch. It's amazing. You know, the databases, the signaling, it's unbelievable how much you can learn about the telephone system. But it's very, very difficult to get that good, deep, forbidden knowledge about the telco system because they don't want you to know about it. And if you don't think that's true and you're wrong, you're dead wrong, call up the Lucent Docs department and see how much a document costs for a 5E switch. See how much that costs. And then you'll know that they don't want you to have it. You know, try to find a document on, you know, number portability, you know. I bet you it's thousands of dollars. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, you definitely have to think outside the box. Oh, I can't believe I just used that cliche. You definitely have to think differently to find ways to learn about the telephone system. One way to learn about the telephone system is to dumpster dive. That's right. That is so. It's a lot of fun. You're going to learn a lot of stuff. I've had stacks and stacks of stuff. I got rid of a lot of it, but you'll never know what you get. Go ahead and hit a dumpster, and not just the dumpsters at your local CO or, you know, your local switch. Hit the dumpsters at cellular stores, you know, your Cricket store, your Verizon store. Hit those dumpsters.
Can I just break in about dumpster diving a little?
Yeah, please.
Yes.
We're not gonna make a segment on dumpster diving. This is just a way to get information. Please.
Yeah, I know. Just a little hint. You're going to read a bunch of text files on that, of course. But something about dumpster diving. Now, when you think, okay, dumpster diving, doesn't that sound just illegal for some people? The legality of it is most of the time, unless it's a sign, you're cool. Now, if you get caught, on the other hand, they're going to probably harass you. Never going to go back there again. But a lot of people are probably going to get carried away by thinking that it's illegal.
Well, I believe it is. It's actually their property, and it's their property whether it's in a trash can or not. So I believe it is. I don't know if it's trespassing or stealing. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it is.
It's a shady area.
Yeah.
When you go out there, think about it first. You know, I get stupid because I don't go with someone else, but try to go in pairs.
Yeah.
If not more people. There you go.
Condor, you were saying something?
I'll make a party out of it, but you're going to draw attention to you.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Stank has something to say, doesn't he?
Was that Stank?
I was just saying that when you do some dumpster diving, that you're going to have to make sure you film some of that for our videos.
Oh yeah, man! Oh, I've got some great ideas for Hack TV, dude. Great ideas. Okay, so don't just hit the CO, hit the cellular stores, hit some big businesses, learn about their phone systems, their PBXs, stuff like that. You'll learn a lot about phones that way. Another way, and we've talked about books throughout the show. Again, is books, but for telephones, it's a little different. You know, there's books at the big chains that you can get on the telecommunications, but the stuff you really want, you're not going to get there. Where I go are the used bookstores. And if you're lucky enough in your town to have one, sometimes there are used bookstores that specialize in technical books. Those are gold mines. Oh, I love those places, and you will too. You're going to get great technical knowledge at a good price. So, used bookstores are great. Find a store that has a technical section or that specializes only in technical manuals, technical books, and they're out there, I know it, and go and check it out. Find those books on telephones.
Trying to find manuals for older versions of software, for old specific programs and stuff that you can't find anymore.
Yeah.
Don't sell in the regular bookstores. They put those things on clearance and they outlet them to the used bookstores and people return them when they upgrade, and you'll find a lot of obscure stuff there.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. You'll find some. You'll just find a gold mine of finds. So, used bookstores. Another good source for freaking knowledge, and I hate to say this again, but going to stores. Specifically, Radio Shack. You never know. Go and again, you might not get any info out of the people working there. Sometimes you can, but most of the time you won't. But just go and, you know, absorb the technology. What's there? You know, what kind of stuff do they have? You know, what kind of jacks are there? Do they have a butt set? You know, just learn about the technology. Just get the lingo down, you know? Get a catalog and check it out and learn, you know, RJ11, RJ45. Learn all that stuff. Just get to know it. Go to electronic surplus. That's another kind of store. But how do I say it? Like a commercial electronic supplier. A lot of times they're going to have a telco section. They'll have telco tools. They'll have they'll have your butt sets. They'll have your trace sets. You know, they'll have all this stuff. I'm going to talk about multimeters in a little bit. You know, and just go and how do I say this? Kind of just, you know, get in the groove, kind of get into that that clique, that little society that is telco, and just learn about it. Just kind of, you know, get the lingo down and start talking to people and ask dumb questions. It doesn't matter. You will get it. Another one, electronic surplus stores. A lot of times the old, you know, cratchety guy that's running the store is going to know a lot of stuff, and you can hit him up for info. You know, you got this funky piece of technology. What is this? You know, is this a KSU? What the hell is this thing? Ask him, and he'll know, and he'll give you that information. Just go in and experience it. Become a part of it. And you don't have to go and spend money, and you can learn a lot of stuff. Another way to learn about telco, about a little freaking, is actually getting some hardware, getting some tools, some basic things, and experimenting. And one of the best things you can do is get a multimeter. And you're thinking, what the hell? That's for electronics. That's not for phones. No, that's wrong. There's a lot of things going on in that phone line that you don't know. And if you you make your own little jack and plug it into your RJ11 port, you can use that multimeter and explore the phone system right from your room. So get a multimeter and play with it. Stick it in the jack, you know, and you'll figure it out. You figure out how to use it. You know, you can even get PC interface multimeters, digital multimeters, and play with it. And you'll learn a lot of stuff about the telephone system. Another piece of hardware that you can use to learn about the telephone system is a telephone, for crying out loud. Get a phone and pull it apart. See how it works. See what it does. Read up on it.
They would have a phone.
What's that?
Really hope they would have a phone.
Oh, I know they'll have a phone, but it's one that you can yank apart. You can get phones now dirt cheap at Walmart, at any... You name a store, you can buy a phone for $5, $10. Buy one just to tear it apart. Rip it apart and see what's in there. See how it works. And play with it. Use your multimeter. See what happens. Man, what time is it? Dan, we're getting close to the end. Really close to the end.
I've got a few things I can bring up if you, unless you want to go on.
Yeah, speak up if you can.
Okay. All these things, you know, to M from F. A lot of this stuff has gone a little bit more in depth than he might have been expecting, or they might have been expecting, I should say. I want to bring it back down a little bit. Go to Google and put in the search terms that you're looking for, and you will find sites. If you can't find sites, come to the message boards, email one of us, we'll point you in the right direction. Everybody can go out and buy books. We've already mentioned that. Find the books that you want. Find books to learning and books to reference and understand the difference of them. But the one thing that we haven't mentioned yet, and I just feel really strongly about this, is nothing can replace a good education. You can read books all day long, and you can find the syntax of it, and you can learn a lot of great stuff. But at some point, you're going to turn to a university, you're going to turn to a real instructor, you're going to buy a real textbook. You can go to a college bookstore, you can buy a real textbook that's going to walk you through and show you basic fundamentals. And if you understand the fundamentals of things, that opens your mind to start developing your own theories, developing your own ideas. Hey, if it does this and that works that way, what else can it do? And how can I make this work with something else? Go to the university, even if you don't want to go to be a full-time student, no matter what age you are, you don't have to be a young kid coming out of high school. I mean, I'm 31 years old, and I still go to college, and I learn more every day than, you know, as much as I do sitting at home in front of my computer. So it's very important that you go to these kind of outlets. And one other word I haven't heard all night that I want to throw out there, the library. You can go to a library, and you will find books on any subject you can imagine. The public library might not be the best source because they're going to stock such a variety of things that might not work for you. But if you go to a university library, and as a lot of the listeners know, I work at a university, they don't check you when you walk in. You can go in there and sit for 8 hours and read the entire manual for whatever you want. All the textbooks for all the classes, they almost always have copies of those exact textbooks in the library that you can take. You might not be able to check it out without a student ID or something, but you can sit in there and read. You can sit in there and learn, and nobody's going to bother you as long as you don't cause trouble.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that once you do all this learning, once you do complete some great ideas, create something new from all your learning, you're going to want to communicate that with the community. You're going to want to share it. And if you can't do that effectively, it's not going to be much good. Not to anybody else, at least. So that's one great reason to get an education, and that is to learn how to communicate effectively. Man, this was a lot.
No matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are, you can always go to school and learn something. I learn every day. I said a few minutes ago, I'm a Linux newbie. Every day I learn more about that by pounding away and looking stuff up and by going and sitting in on classes at the university. And it's just, you know, it's a nonstop lifetime process, learning is.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And, you know, this is, first of all, I got to apologize to the listeners. I hope you can hear Stank Dog. We actually had to have this many people on the show, we had to do 2 3-ways. And we hope you can hear him okay. I don't know yet. We'll have to listen to it and find out. And you know what? This kind of show, and tell me if I'm wrong, guys, this kind of show is not easy to do, you know? We're trying to give unique ways to find information, unique places to get this information, not websites, because you can, like Stank said, go to Google, find anything you need. But there's so much, and it's so hard to teach people how to think. You know, it's very difficult to do this kind of show. So I hope we did a good job. M4MS, let us know. All the listeners, let us know. And please, if you have any suggestions, go to the forums of Stank Dog and give your own unique sources of information for people to start learning about technology.
Again, I put up several links before the show, and people can go there and check out a lot of the ones that we've mentioned. And you guys, I'm sure, have got some up there already, and we'll be putting some more all the time. So please come by, check the ones out we've talked about, add your own, and, you know, I'm sure that other people have stuff that we haven't even found yet.
Yeah. Closing thoughts.
Well, my closing thought's very easy, and I think I said it earlier in the show. Ask questions. Anywhere, everywhere, not online. It doesn't have to be about computers. It doesn't have to be about RF. If you've got a question and you want to learn, the easiest way is to ask questions.
Condor?
I would just say, you know, switch to Linux. I think it'll help you. Or go to IBIBLIO. You know, it's like the Internet's library almost. It has a whole bunch of stuff. SourceForge has everything. Like, Windows apps, anything. Anything and everything. It's a great place, SourceForge. I forgot to mention that.
No, that's okay. See, they'll find that. If they can, I mean, oof, they need help. Always the evangelist. Mute?
I think, now I might be stealing yours, I think persistence is a big thing. But also experimentation. As you said before, if you just take one thing, like computers that I had, and you see what else you can do with it, you're going to branch off and do so many more. That's why you got to keep an open mind, and you're going to keep focused on what you're doing. No matter what's, I mean, I try at least, no matter what's going on, I try to do I try to do something out of the ordinary with either the computer or something else that's different to kind of break up my life. So I think that, you know, just keep on trying different stuff and keep the focus. That's what you need.
Very nice. My final thought, for everybody in Quest Country, reverse billing is going to end for cell phone calls, so watch that goddamn phone bill.
And take her fucking with you.